Well, welcome to the James Epperly Show, where real stories spark real transformation. Today, I am thrilled to introduce Mashalee Mitchell, the brilliant author behind her powerful new book, Restored. In this inspiring work, Mashalee shares a compelling parable drawn from the lessons she learned while restoring her 140-year-old house, a journey that turned brokenness into beauty. So today, whether you're in the middle of your own restoration journey or simply seeking a spark of hope, I want you to stay tuned because this conversation, it's about to change everything. So welcome to the program today. It is so good to be with you.
Thanks for having me. I'm so honored to be here. So honored to join you.
Absolutely. Congratulations on your new book.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
How's that process of writing been for you?
Oh, goodness. That's a loaded question. Yeah. It's been beautiful being a new, first-time author. It's been loaded with a lot of beauty. Just walking this journey out. I tell people I've walked the journey, lived the story, and now the Lord's brought this opportunity to write this book, to prayerfully minister to others. And so it's been beautiful and hard, and I've learned a lot of grit. I learned all about hard work in it, but it's really been beautiful and a blessing to be able to write it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Incredible. So just before we jump into more about your new book, would you take us back for a moment?
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about how you found Jesus and your journey of faith and what's that has looked like for you that, of course, led you to writing this book.
Sure. Yeah. So I was raised in Arkansas. The listeners probably hear a little bit of that when they hear me talk. I was raised in small town Arkansas. I was raised in a minister's family and a preacher's family. So I was raised in the ways of faith, raised in church. I was in church. I tell people every time the doors were open, I had a really solid foundation in my life growing up of faith and being raised in a Christian home. Dad was a preacher. I had, great parents. We lived in a little bit of a non-traditional preacher in a ministry home, and that shaped me a lot. My dad was an evangelist. He wasn't a pastor, so he traveled and still travels 48 weeks a year, traveling around the globe, preaching the gospel, and just a really, really mighty man of God. But that evangelism model really, that played a part in shaping me too. He was gone on the road a lot. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. So like I said, raised in the ways of the Lord, raised in a ministry family, great parents. But like any ministry family, or any family, I tell people we weren't perfect and we faced, some brokenness in our family and in our lives behind the four walls of our home. So great upbringing, great family. When I was about 12, which I share a lot about this in the book, pre 12 years old, pre that age, I call it kind of like a paradise, perfect family, that sort of thing. And then at 12, I experienced what I would say, was intense trauma and brokenness for really the first time. My parents went through a really, really hard divorce. It was hard on all of us, not just me, but my siblings, my parents, my extended family, being from a, a small town in South Arkansas and conservative Arkansas, we felt we lived in a little bit of a glass house. And so went through a lot at that age. And then soon after that, in my personal journey, I went through the divorce of my parents, the aftermath of that, and then some abuse I faced in my life in my early teen years that really had a big impact on me. So I talk about, in the book, I feel like divorce is so common now that, the impact is so great on a person. I've walked through it. I have a lot of friends that have walked through that. And so just impacted me in a really, really deep way, being the oldest of four. And then the abuse that I went through, what I say is that began to kind of erode the foundation of my life. Even though I was a believer and in a ministry family, there were some pretty deep and intense wounds that I faced during that time, that I carried into my adulthood. And, had a time where I realized I was, I was experiencing this brokenness still as a believer. And what I say is I was not experiencing the abundant life that Jesus promises in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and you might have that more abundantly. So a Cliff's Notes version of my story is I walked through that and carried some of those wounds and that trauma into my adulthood and never really allowed, even as a believer, allowed the Lord into those rooms of my heart to really mend and heal and restore. So my mid-20s, I began a journey of facing that head on with the Lord. And it's been a journey of transformation and renewal and restoration and healing. And so that, like I said, that's a Cliff's Notes version. That gives you kind of an idea.
So tell me about this 140-year-old farmhouse that you started to restore. And then how did that tie into this process of restoration that you begin to see within yourself?
Yeah. So I talked to you a little bit, like I said, Cliff's Notes version of my story, you know, my personal journey. And like I said, I've had this common theme in my life that the Lord's brought to me over and over again of kind of just seeing beyond, like I said, with photography, with people. And then in 2018, I never knew what God was birthing, but he was birthing a ministry as I was looking for my first ever home. I was looking around. I live in Texas, but I had started a hunt for my first ever house I was going to invest in. And I had my sights kind of set on a newer home that was ready, moving ready to go. And the Lord brought about this in 2018, this 1886 farmhouse fixer upper, to say the least, that a realtor friend of mine who's a believer found. She was helping me on this house hunt. And I was actually in Nashville, Tennessee on a photo shoot. And she calls me and she's like, "Hey, don't hang up, but I have found a home that I feel so drawn to for you. And I want to FaceTime you and show you around." And so she did that. And she shows me, you know, kind of walks me through this old home that was completely in disrepair. It needed so much love. It needed to be loved back to life, I say. And I'm sitting there looking at it. And like I said, that gift in me that the Lord gave me of just seeing beyond, it was almost like I had blinders on and I could see what it could be and should be. And this is totally against my natural personality. Anyone that knows me knows this, but I, because I'm not a risk taker, but sight unseen, I made an offer on the home from Nashville, Tennessee, and made an offer on it. And like I said, the Lord ordered my steps and I bought the home and began to restore it room by room, piece by piece. It wasn't a project that, personally for me, I couldn't do the whole HGTV thing, you know, move that bus overnight.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's been a slow, methodical, thorough, room by room, piece by piece journey. And as I began to do that, like I said, I didn't know what the Lord was doing. The prior owner of the house is a believer. And she always said that, you know, the Lord was pulling off in Ephesians 3:20. He was doing more than we could ask or think. And so he was doing that. And I began to just naturally, because of how I'm wired, I began to go in each room and gut it. And I would take pictures of it and I would write about it as the Lord kind of brought things to mind. And I realized, you know, per some of this stuff I told you about earlier, the Lord began to deal with me about rooms of my heart that needed to still be gutted and made new and healed and restored. So I just walked out that journey with God. Like I said, I never knew that it would be anything more than what it was. It was like a personal passion project to me. But the message, as I shared on Instagram and different social media platforms, that restoration message is so beautiful. And it's something that people are, I always say the earth is, we're crying out and we're groaning for restoration. So many people begin to write me, "Miss Shaylee, you know, I'm battling with this," or "I need restoration in my marriage. I need restoration in my finances. I lost my job," or "I have brokenness in my family." And so there was a felt need there. And it struck a chord. And so the Lord was birthing a ministry that I didn't have any idea what he was doing. But so that's how we landed here.
So from buying a house to birthing a ministry, I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah. I thought it was about me at the time in this house, but it was really about others. And it was about something bigger God was doing.
Do you still currently live in that house?
I do. Okay. I'm in it right now. So yeah, I've lived in the house the whole process. So.
You know, what's incredible about your book is how it's written almost as a parable versus a self-help book.
Yeah.
What's powerful, but that is that was the method that even Jesus preferred to use when he would bring his teachings. And a little bit ago, you had talked about kind of going room by room and focusing on that room, and it wasn't an HGTV, move the bus. And sometimes when it comes to our faith, we want those move the bus moments.
Absolutely.
You know, those instant. But often in our journeys with God, it is that room by room by room, thing by thing. So you talk about in your book of giving God the keys to every room of your heart. Would you expound on that for a minute, what that means?
Yeah. So as we walked the rooms of my heart, I tell people, the Lord began to, I allowed him during this season, especially in the beginning of, 2018, 2019, the Holy Spirit began to reveal to me that there were some deep, deep issues that I had not dealt with the Lord. And that's the reason I wasn't experiencing this abundance of soul. They were strongholds and they were keeping me back. So I talk in the book about even thought patterns and the way my mind functioned and what I was believing about myself and about God. You know, those things were really keeping me stuck. There was some major unforgiveness that I had kind of carried. I didn't realize I did. At the time, I would have told you I didn't deal with that. But the Holy Spirit really began to work in me and speak to me about some unforgiveness I had carried from my childhood that I needed to deal with in order to really move forward. It was keeping me some thought patterns from that and the way I was viewing life and people is really, really affecting me and keeping me stuck. And like I said, I just wasn't experiencing from the overflow that true joy and abundance. So those rooms of my heart that I had to get really honest with myself and I had to get really honest with God and partner with him, which is the subtitle of the book, in really bringing restoration and transformation. I knew, like I said, I was raised in ministry. I could do it with the best of them. I knew what to say. I knew scriptures. I knew Christianese. And I would have told, if you would have asked me as a perfectionist, I would have said all the right things. But when I laid my head on my pillow at night and it was just me and the Lord, he and I both knew that inside, you know, from the overflow, like I said, I wasn't really experiencing. And as a father, he longed for that for me. And so only God could have set it up. But through this house, he began to really reveal to me that there were these rooms that I desperately needed to let him into in order to move forward in the life that he has for me. So,
And sometimes when we are just in the busyness and the hustle and bustle of life, you know, we can just, it builds even a greater barrier and God touching on those rooms and those things that maybe we internally, we know we're not necessarily living out our lives the way God has called us. But sometimes when you slow down, and obviously a building project isn't slow, there's a lot to it, but it's one of those processes that really require some depth from you.
Absolutely.
If you allow God to kind of pull apart some of those rooms, and you touch on in your book the themes of patience and perseverance and self-forgiveness, which all kind of come out in this journey of restoration. Out of those, what did you find most challenging in your journey?
In my journey, you kind of just nailed it. I had been a photographer, like I said, that the Lord had really blessed my business, and I was on the go majorly. So I think that because I was moving at such a fast pace, I didn't slow down enough or stop long enough to really, I didn't want to, you know, anytime I slowed down or got still, I didn't like what I felt and sensed in myself. And like I said, that lack of abundance. And so I just stayed on the go. And but through this house, you know, the Lord really slowed me down. And so those rooms, you know, I would say out of all of them, and I haven't been asked this, it's a really great question. I would say that forgiveness was one of the toughest that I needed the spirits. It had to be a spirit work in me. I actually had a moment alone in the farmhouse here just by myself. So like I said, no bright lights, no big moment. I had woken up early to pray and just seek the Lord about some things. And I was raised in the Assemblies of God. And so we had these great old songs, and there was a song about Jesus image playing in the living room. I'll never forget it. It was, "Oh, the Glory of His Presence." And I loved that song, and it kind of took me back. It was before the sunrise in here, and I got on my knees in the living room floor, and I began to just listen to that song, "Oh, the Glory of His Presence." And the Lord began to minister to me and speak to me. And in that moment, he's not audibly, but I had this sense that there was somebody very important in my life that I was harboring unforgiveness towards. And the Lord was asking me to release it. And in that moment, like right in my living room floor, no bright lights, no nothing, I asked the Lord, I said, I want to forgive, but I feel like I can't. And I need the Spirit. I need your Spirit's help. I'm making the decision today, but I need the Spirit's work in me. And I released it. And wow. I released that control and that bondage really that I had them in of like owing me kind of, I wouldn't have said I did, but I kind of had this mentality of you've wronged me and you owe me. And in that moment, there was something about it. I released it. And there was a major change in my life that even took place that day. Wow. Like I said, with no bright lights, no big moment of stage or lights or service. Yeah. It was just me and the Lord in this little tiny Texas farmhouse.
Yeah.
And so that's probably, to answer your question, one of the deepest works of all of this that's really brought transformation to me, and one of the hardest works.
Wow.
It's taken time, you know? So.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talk about just this process of again, going deeper, digging in, and just hearing your story now. I mean, I'm thinking to my own self, yeah, you know, I can see some of those rooms and just how God's been speaking to me. So I'm confident that some of our viewers are probably saying, yeah, I can relate to that. When I put my head down on my pillow at night, there's probably some areas of my life that I'm not really living out the way God's called me to live. So in your book, Restored, you elaborate on some practical tools that you offer for your readers to find healing and transformation. Can you talk about a few of them?
Sure. And I always say too, you know, in the book, I share my journey. It isn't necessarily like a blueprint, but something to give readers to kind of, you know, as an example of how great, great healing came to my life. One of the things, like I alluded to earlier, in the beginning of my journey where I really got serious with God and began to really allow him to go into the rooms of my heart, I had been seeing a great Christian counselor. And I always say it's one of the greatest investments I've ever made. And I still see her even today, just to check in.
Yep.
there was something about that act of vulnerability and really, really opening up my life, my thoughts, my heart fully to another person in the kingdom that was a trusted voice. That began to bring great healing to me in a deep, deep way. So I'm a huge component. Like I said, even as a believer, I'm a huge, huge component of, you know, Christian counseling. Finding the right counselor is, of course, key, but huge. I mean, it brought great transformation to me. I began to surround myself with godly community. And like I said, it's kind of a recurring theme, but not just surround myself with people, but begin to apply the word. Like in James, it talks about, you know, great healing comes when we confess our faults one to another. There's a confession to the Lord, of course, to God vertically, but horizontally, it says so that you may be healed. And I begin to walk with a few close people, not, you know, use wisdom. I tell people that don't go, you know, airing out everything to everybody, but ask the Lord to bring people that you can really walk life with, the good, the bad, and the ugly. That brought great transformation. I really had to face my negative thought patterns and allow the Lord, you know, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That was a tough journey for me. That was something, a discipline I really had to cultivate in not just knowing Christianese, like I said, but applying it to my mind and making a choice every day, sometimes by the hour, to think godly thoughts and agree with the kingdom narrative over my life instead of a trauma narrative that I had kind of partnered with. I had lived a long time partnering with this. I was stuck in the past. I was partnering with this kind of trauma narrative, and I was very depressed and anxious and kind of downcast, which people don't believe about me now, but but truly. So things like that, you know, and I go into it more in the book, of course, and elaborate on it and share examples and stories of how the Lord brought transformation to me through those principles.
Yeah.
Those are just a few.
Yeah. So, Ms. Shaley, there's so many people who, could easily write a self-help book, and there's nothing wrong with those.
Sure.
You know, that just outlines, here's what to do, here's, you know, the scripture to stand on, all of that. But I think it takes a different kind of person to really journal, if you will, as you did in your book, your experience and what God did with you, and being open and so vulnerable to people. And I think that's why your book is so powerful, is because we can feel your story and hear, you know, the ups and the downs and the hardships. But what are you hoping that people reading your story? I mean, it took some guts to be as vulnerable and open about your journey as you were. So I would assume in writing something that took a piece of you is that you want people who read it to walk away with something. What is that?
Absolutely. Well, I remember growing up in church, and even being a photographer, being in conferences and events, I spent a long time in my life sitting in big rooms with great preaching. And I remember having the mentality that God was a restorer, and he was able to restore everything and everybody but me. I kind of felt like the special case, really, like I said, when I laid my head on my pillow at night, and these mountains felt too big and these strongholds felt too strong. And my message to everybody that holds the book, to everybody that reads the words, is that they'll have a revelation of God's love, and that his desire is to restore you. And he is able to restore you, not just everybody else and everybody, you know, but whatever situation they're facing, no matter the brokenness, the depth of it, nothing is too hard for God. With man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And I just pray that they, you know, it's an invitation. Like I said, the subtitle is partnering with God and his ability, not our own. I always say, like, he starts the work, he finishes it, we partner with him. You know, he's the strong one.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's really, it sounds simple, but that's really my heart for it, is that everybody that holds this book gets a revelation of that restoration is for them. This is very personal.
Well, thank you for being obedient to the Lord and writing this book. And I know it's going to help people. It's going to bless people. So run out and get your copy today. But Ms. Shaley, will you pray for our viewers who maybe they feel stuck in their own ruins? And that's kind of the story of restoration here, is that God would bring those ruins and create something beautiful out of it. So would you pray for them today?
Absolutely. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for every person, Lord, that you've ordained to listen to this interview, God. It's not by might, not by power, but it's by your spirit, God, that you've drawn them. And Lord, I pray right now, we look to you, and we surrender these things, and we look to you and trust you as the master restorer. God, your word says that you start the work and you finish the work. God, I pray for hearts that are listening today, God, for a fresh, Lord, just revelation and encouragement of your restorative power, God, no matter what they've brought in and whatever they're facing, Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you touch their situation right now. God, I pray as you begin to, you know, I sense that as people were listening, God, they were seeing themselves through my story, even, God, and thinking of rooms of their own heart that the Holy Spirit is leading them, Lord, to just hand you the keys. God, there, I know in my life, I was tired of fighting. I was tired of feeling stuck. And I so desired to experience that abundant life that you promised in your word. And Lord, your word is truth. So I just pray that you, Holy Spirit, you empower each person listening to hand you the keys, even the ones that are, Lord, some of the hardest rooms. I just pray that we surrender control and we trust you as a good and loving Father that wants us to experience the abundance and the joy of this full life that you've promised us, Lord, not bound in strongholds and chains, but God, a free life. So I pray for each person watching, God. I pray for a fresh revelation of your love and your power. And I pray for the Lord, that I get to hear some of the great testimonies of restoration that come from this interview. We thank you, Lord. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, Ms. Shaley, you have written a beautiful book that I know is going to help so many people. So where can we find more information about your photography and your ministry and all that God's doing in your world?
Well, thanks for asking that. They can find all social platforms. My handle is just at, I have a weird name. We talked about this before, but at Ms. Shaley, at Ms. Shaley. So M-E-S-H-A-L-I. And then I'd love for them to go to MissShaley.co, where they can pre-order the book. It's available there or where all books are sold on Amazon or Barnes and Noble and all those places. But yeah, that's where it's out. Yeah.
Good. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for being on the program today.
Thank you.
And we look forward to seeing all that God's going to do through you and your ministry. Thank you
so much. Thank you.
At Pioneer Television Network, we are dedicated to spreading the spirit of revival and sharing the hope and love of Jesus with people everywhere. Every broadcast, every message, and every life touched is made possible through the generous support of people just like you. Your gift will not only help us continue to share this life-changing message, but also empower us to reach even more people with the hope of revival. As our way of saying thank you, we love to send you a book of your choice from one of our recent ministry guests. It's easy to give. Use the information at the bottom of your screen or text PTN now to 1-888-364-GIVE. Your generosity will help us bring the spirit of revival to countless lives around the world. Thank you for standing with us and for being part of this incredible mission. Together, we're making an eternal impact.
Well, thank you for joining us on the James Epperly Show today. It has been a true honor hearing Michelle Mitchell share her journey of restoration, a journey that transformed a 140-year-old house into a powerful parable of hope. It's all been captured beautifully in her new book, Restored. So if Michelle's story has inspired you to seek your own path of restoration, well, then we have an incredible opportunity for you. With your donation of just $25 into this ministry, as a heartfelt thank you, we want to send you a copy of Restored. Your support always helps us spread the message of transformation around the world. And don't forget, you can always download the Pioneer Network app on any device to access free Christian television wherever you are. This will keep you connected to inspiring content every day. So thank you so much for being a part of this journey. My prayer for you is that you would stay blessed, stay inspired, and keep the spirit of restoration alive in your life. Remember that God loves you. He's not mad at you. And he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.
Life can be hectic, and we often find ourselves rushing from one task to the other. However, with the Pioneer Network app, you can discover faith and inspiration wherever you are. Featuring original programming crafted to uplift and strengthen your faith, the app connects you with some of the world's leading Christian voices 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're commuting, exercising, or taking a break, spiritual enrichment is now just a tap away. Don't let the busyness of life distract you from your faith journey. Stay inspired and uplifted. Download the Pioneer Network app today on your favorite platform. This has been the James Epperly Show. This worldwide broadcast is made possible by friends and partners of Pioneer Television Network. Your faithful monthly support helps take this message around the world. To learn more, visit thejamesepperlyshow.com.